Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hello, I'm Larry Mueller, and today we welcome Melinda Myers to the microphone. Melinda from Milwaukee. She has been a regular on our program for many, many years. She hosts the Great Lakes Gardeners program on PBS. She has taught horticulture at Madison area, Milwaukee area Technical College. She was with UW Extension for several years. And she's received all kinds of awards for her work in the horticulture area, including the 2007 Perennial Plant Association's Garden Media Award. So we're really happy to have her with us here today. And also joining me is another guy with a big green thumb, John Munson. John,
that means I've been into the green pudding again.
John Munson is joining us for a few minutes. And, John, we have a goal to begin our program. We have a $12,000 goal overall for the 90 minutes of the program. But to start, we have a $7,000 goal for the first hour of the program. And if we meet our goal, we will have an additional $1,500 in the form of a challenge grant. Actually, two, one from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association, the other from the Outagamie County Master Gardeners. And they especially want other Master Gardeners to call in. What number was it again?
800-383-9772 or securely online at WPR.org.
Those are the numbers to call. And I tell you what, Garden Talk is I think that week in, week out, it's probably the most popular program that I do week in and week out. And it's a great time for everybody who loves, you know, maybe you're a professional gardener, maybe you're a master gardener, or maybe you just like to have a few flowers and maybe one tomato plant in the backyard. Regardless of what your status is in that area, we hope you will call in with a contribution. We have a lot of fun on Garden Talk. Melinda Myers, she's a funny gal.
Gardening
well,
should be fun, that, right?
That's the rumor I keep hearing.
Now I have to prove it, right?
Yeah, well, the pressure's on you.
I know. Money and humor all in one.
800-383-9772. 800-383-9772 is the number to call to make your pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio and help us meet those that challenge grant goal and get that extra money.
And we have a little inducement here. For $120, we will, for a contribution of $120, we'll send you the member benefit card, which gives you two-for-one dining, two-for-one night stay. You pay for one, but you get two nights at a bed and breakfast and 44 bed and breakfasts. So that's for a $120 contribution. And if you just add $30 to that, making $150, we will send you a copy of Melinda Myers' book, Small Space Gardening. You can enhance your outdoor living space. You can transform your garden into an outdoor retreat. Some basic steps to design it yourself. Or if you're like John and me, you tend to get other people in to do the work for you.
This looks like something I would hire out for.
But there's some beautiful photography in there. There's some great steps, step-by-step as to how to do the work. And that's all part of the package for a $150 contribution today. And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio's Garden Talk show at 1-800-383-9772. And I really want to emphasize as well that you can go online to WPR.org. WPR.org. Go online. It's safe and secure. When you make your contribution online, you then can print off your own receipt for tax purposes, so you got it all done in a couple of minutes, John.
And it's just that easy. And over the years, we've made it easier and simpler, and I don't know how we could even improve on the system we have now. $12.50 a month, that's not a lot, and you can do that if you could call 800-383-9772. You get the member benefit card, and as Larry said, for that extra $30, you get this beautiful book, Small Space Gardening, with all the great pictures inside and lots of tips on how you can make your yard a real show place.
176 pages.
Wow.
In here. Full color.
But who's counting?
I tell you what, we count on you to call in with your contributions. And especially during Garden Talk, it's a great vote for this type of programming. We'd actually devote 20% of my shows are actually devoted to gardening, at least 20, because we do a show every Friday. And a lot of times on Wednesdays, we kind of sneak in, sometimes on Thursdays, too, programs that kind of relate to it as well. So we really are looking for your vote of support for this kind of programming. And certainly, I know the Master Gardeners from Outagamie County and the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association are really hoping for Master Gardeners who are listening today to call in with their contributions and let us know here that you appreciate this program. The number to call, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org. John, check things out and come back and talk to us again.
Absolutely.
And Melinda Myers, so nice to have you with us.
It's great to be here.
Are you busy in the garden these days?
Well, definitely. I probably need to be a little busier looking at my landscape. I think all of us are in the same boat.
Yeah.
The heat, the drought, the rains, the hot, the cold. It's been just a tough year on our plants, and I think a tough year on gardeners. You know, we just think fall is starting, and then it gets to be 90 degrees again. But there's always lots to do, and I think gardeners are basically optimistic people.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you wouldn't do it 2 years in a row. There's no sane reason for doing that. So a lot of things to do. The leaves are starting to fall. And, you know, I think one of the cool things about Garden Talk and why I'm a regular listener to WPR and a contributor is because there's lots of good ideas I get from other experts in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And leaves and greening and the whole movement, they're falling down. And instead of going, oh, I have to deal with the leaves, think of it as fertilizer
mm-hmm.
and soil amendments falling from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of raking them to the curb or hauling them away, use your mower and shred them up and leave them on the lawn. You
mm-hmm.
can see the grass for the leaf pieces. You're fine. Shred them up and use them as a mulch. And I'm talking your lawnmower as a shredder. I don't have a fancy leaf shredder. I just use my electric mower to chop things up or dig them into your garden at the end of the season, composting. So there's lots of things. You know, anytime I can get double the value out of any activity in my garden, it's a good day.
You and I are a lot alike when it comes to that because I just, I tell you what, I mow the lawn and those leaves just go right back on the lawn.
And it's a great way to fertilize and improve the soil. The earthworms take, then the beetles take all that good organic matter down into the soil, and our lawns really can use it after this hot, dry summer.
Tell you what, if you'd like to join in with a question for Melinda, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. Give a call. And Serena in Richland Center is online, so let's go to her. Hi, Serena. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I have a purple passion viney plant. That's what I call a purple passion anyhow.
I like that. That's good.
Mm-hmm. And then what they call a candelabra. And my purple passion, the plant, the leaves are wilting and dying off. And my candelabra, the leaves are just drooping.
Okay. Now, when you're talking... I'm assuming these are inside. The purple passion sometimes is grown outside here in Wisconsin. It's a little borderline to get through the winter. But does it have purple leaves or does it have green leaves with that purple flower that has the stamen that look like a cross and they're very intricate and lacy?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the plant you're talking about as purple passion or the one with a purple leaf?
The one with it's got a green leaf and then it's fringed with purple around the leaf itself.
Okay. It sounds like the purple passion vine that some people grow outside, bring in for the winter, or if they're lucky, can kind of put it in a protected spot. Now, the fact that both of these are showing signs of wilting, my first thought is look at what's happening in the roots. Have they been inside all summer, or are they outside for the summer and you just brought them in?
They've been inside the whole time.
Okay.
I got them from my sister-in-law.
Okay. Anything? So you just moved them into a new location.
Right.
What kind of light are they receiving?
Unfortunately, north light.
Okay. Well, sometimes north isn't too bad. Are there any obstructions, trees, other buildings?
No.
Okay. A couple things you might want to consider. When I see wilting, I think about what's happening with the roots. A lot of our house plants don't like blasts of hot or cold air, depending on if they're, you know, by an air conditioner and getting shot with that dry, cold air. That can be an issue. Low light can be an issue, especially as it relates to watering. Lower light means less watering, unless your air is really dry. And so if you're watering, say, once a week, and these plants are used to being in brighter conditions, conditions, that may be too much and you might be getting a little root rot. What I like to do is halfway between the water cycles. So let's say you water every 7 or 10 days. About day 3 or 4, slide the plant out of the container and look at the roots. If they're slimy and brown, you're probably watering too much. Trim off anything that's slimy and dead. Put fresh soil in and replant it. If they're dry and brittle, you may need to pick up the pace and water more frequently. Thorough but less frequent waterings is usually the case. I like to put my plants in saucers with pebbles in the bottom, so when I water thoroughly, I don't have to pour the excess off, but the plant isn't sitting in that excess.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you may want to do, especially as the days are getting shorter and the light intensity is decreasing, you may want to get some artificial lights. There's some really nice plant lights available that you can snap or clip onto the pots or hang from the wall or from a curtain rod and shine down and give some added light to your plants. And you may want to consider that to brighten things up. So first check the root system and watering, adjust if need be, and then considering increasing the light if you feel that's a concern. Don't fertilize until the plants are actively growing and you need to give them a bit of a nutrient boost. I think the first thing we always do is think, oh, I'll fertilize. It's under stress. And then you burn those tender roots that are having problems anyway. So
good luck.
Good luck is right.
Thanks, Serena, for calling. Sally in Middleton, it's your turn. Hi, Sally.
Hi, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. You just answered, I think, my main question is I got two, let's see, in July I got two bushes, darling bushes, and I think they're called knockout, those new
roses.
Roses. Yeah, they come in pink or red. I got two red, and boy, they just make my front yard. They did beautifully. And someone, just a friend said, well, you know, just what you said then, that you probably shouldn't fertilize for a while. So I haven't. Now they've stopped blooming. Just last week, they've just bloomed all summer. And then I would clip off the buds, or after the blossom was falling apart. I kicked them off. And then they just stopped this last week. And now, what about putting them into bed for the winter? What do I do? Do I fertilize mm-hmm. them for next spring, or do I just let them alone, or what? But now.
Now, where are you again? I'm sorry. Are you?
Middleton.
Oh, Middleton. Okay.
I wanted to say this too. You said we've had a hot, dry summer. Well, I beg your pardon, the lower part of our state, I have never, we're loaded with water.
Yeah,
well,
but
it came late.
It came late.
And
it
all at once.
In August.
You're right. You're right. Some of you got it all at one time. So you're right. Exactly. But prior to that, it was very hot and dry. And so a lot of plants were suffering. Then we got all the rain at one time, and that added to the stress. You're right about knockout. And why I wanted to know where you lived is knockout rose was bred by, actually, it's a friend of mine. He used to be the director of the Botanic Gardens in Milwaukee. So he bred for hardiness. I've had knockout roses since he introduced them and do no winter protection. Now, last winter was tough on shrub roses in general all over the state. A lot of dieback, but they came back from their root system. Why I wanted to know is a couple things. Talking to the folks at Fox Valley Tech and Green Bay Botanic Garden, sometimes they'll see dieback to the ground level. Mm-hmm. And that area tends to be a tougher part of our state because they're not as consistently cold as the north and not quite as warm as we are, so they've got a lot more fluctuation. Some gardeners up there do a light mulching just for added insulation. Some just say, you know what, if it dies back to the ground, that's fine. We'll prune it off and get new growth. So they are hardy. It's just on how you want the results to go. One of the things with knockout rose is less is better, less deadheading. The plants will keep repeat blooming throughout the season. In fact, the breeder said if you do less deadheading, you increase hardiness. And I don't deadhead mine all summer, and I get consistent bloom. And like you, that makes my front yard, that knockout rose just, knocks your socks off. Now for winter, leave them stand. And that last flush of flowers, we always like on all of our shrub roses, just to let them bloom and set rose hips. That's kind of the plant's way of saying, okay, I'm done growing for the season. I'm ready for winter to set in. And so that encourages hardiness. Wait until spring to do your fertilizing. So it's good that you didn't fertilize because in spring you can do your fertilizing. I would start with a low nitrogen, slow release fertilizer. Shrub roses need minimal fertilization if your soils are good and rich and you use organic mulches. So, so you're doing the right thing. Leave them stand. Less is better at this point. If you're a little nervous, you can mound a little soil over the base and a few evergreen branches, but wait for rose protection till after the ground freezes. Just because we're cold, it doesn't mean the plants are dormant. So wait until a week of freezing temperatures or the ground's good and crunchy. But in general, knockout roses I've been traveling all over the state and seeing growing with great success with no winter protection. But again, you may get dieback to the ground if we have a crazy winter like last year or extremely cold temperatures.
Sally, thank you very much for calling. Melinda Myers, gardening expert extraordinaire, our guest here, and Keisha Mabra, our on-air producer, Larry Mueller on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Melinda Myers, our guest today on the Ideas Network Garden Talk program. She's the author of, among other things, Small Space Gardening. Really glad to have her with us today. And again, you can join us at 800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. And Jack in Whitewater is up next. Jack, hi to you. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, Larry and Melinda.
Hi, Jack.
We've got a situation that's up on the east shore of at the cottage on Winnebago. It's about a walnut tree, big black walnut that we had taken down. We'd like to do some replanting of other kinds of plants, trees, and especially do some vegetable and fruit gardening in the general area. Wondered how long we have to wait, how far we have to stay away from it. Can we creep toward it over time? Wondered what the what the parameters are here for dealing with this situation.
I think Larry and I had this
about the jug loan problem.
Exactly, and I think Larry and I had the same vision of you creeping towards the black walnut. So that was a very good visual. In case people aren't aware, black walnuts, all parts of them contain the substance, as you mentioned, Jack, called jug loan, and it's toxic to many plants. Now, once the tree is removed, it can take 5 to 10 years for those roots to totally decompose. So once the roots are decomposed, there's no problem. What you may want to do is, you know, the general recommendation is 50 feet away from a living tree. But I've tracked the roots on black walnuts 200 feet away. I had a woman that called and she had some property and we went out and I looked at it and you could just see where the roots went right through her garden. And there were the wilting tomatoes.
Tomatoes are the worst.
Exactly. So what I would recommend, if you can, if there are areas that you're really anxious to plant, you might want to still look for black walnut resistant plants. And I usually Google black walnut toxicity and the Ohio State University, and usually I think Purdue also.
Purdue's got one too.
Purdue has a really good list of plants that tend to be resistant or tolerant of black walnut, and those to avoid. So that's one place to start where you're near the planting or you're worried that black walnut, you know, the jug loan toxicity is a problem. Raised beds are a good option, especially now that the tree is dead and you're not seeing any sprouting. As those roots are declining, raising the soil above so that those plants won't grow into the roots as they decline is a good idea. For those with living black walnut trees, I always recommend putting weed barrier underneath the raised bed to keep the roots out, but since you've cut yours down, that should be less of an issue.
And pots
and containers. So it might be one of those things that, you know, you're actually very correct in terms of creeping towards it. You know, start planting far away and move closer to that area. Grass grows great under black walnuts. Look at for resistant plants. Try one or two. There's really been no good conclusive research. It's kind of, we've seen these do okay. Some gardener reporting to another gardener or university. So you might want to just kind of give it a try. Plant things you know that are resistant. Things that aren't listed, try one or two before you put a whole bed of them.
Mm-hmm. And a raised bed really
makes
raised life bed work. Really makes a big difference.
Exactly.
Okay, and using the fabric underneath would perhaps be of some help as well?
Well, especially for people with living black walnuts, now that yours are dead, if you put a good foot or so of soil, by the time those roots are going to get down there, those black walnut roots should be decomposed and fine. But for people, I didn't want anybody with a living black walnut tree putting a raised bed and then having the black walnut roots invade and kill their plants. But so you should be fine. You've cut it down. That's the first step. And then watching for those squirrels who may have hidden a few more in the yard.
Exactly.
Good luck, Jack.
Wondering one other thing. Oh. Is there anything we can do to help kill those roots faster?
There are a couple things that you can do. There are some stump killers that you drill holes, and it's a copper sulfate kind of material, I think it is, and you drill holes and you put them in there, and then you end up a year later kind of lighting them, and they smolder, and it helps break them down. Hiring an arborist to come in with a stump grinder, you know, that takes out not all the roots, but the main portion so that you're not going to get the sprouting that you can sometimes see from stumps arising, you you know, stumps left in the ground as well.
Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you
for
the call.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks a lot for calling. And let's go to Mark in Green Bay next. Hi, Mark.
Hello. Thank you for the show.
Sure.
I'm a bachelor, and with winter coming, I'm looking for a house plant that will provide improve air quality.
Great question. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just at a recent conference, and the woman that was presenting, I think, graduated when I did, and we were all into that green, you know, thing in the late 70s. And she was talking about how houseplants are somewhat making a comeback, and all the people my age are talking, remembering those dorm plants we had and all of that. And she talked a lot about air quality, because NASA found that plants can really change air quality. And it's not only the plants, but the soil as well. Spider plants are probably the number one. They're great at pulling out all the VOCs, you know, all that sick building syndrome, all the things released from our paints and our fabrics and new buildings. So looking at doing spider plants, and they're wonderful and they're a lot of fun.
Yeah,
there are new varieties out. Any house plant will help. In fact, research showed that there are about 15 to 18 medium-sized house plants, so like in a 6-inch pot, like tabletop size, is enough to help clean the air in an 1,800 square foot house.
Wow.
I just wrote an article on it. That's the only reason these statistics are at the top of my head. So that's what's making me think. So really, quantity is one of the issues, but really 15 to 18, you know, three clustered together here and three here and a few there. And then making sure you match the plant to the growing conditions, because the more vigorous the plant, the better able they are to take out the toxins out of the air. So if it's a low light situation, things like pothos and philodendrons and Chinese evergreens, good at pulling those toxins out, but also good for low light situations, and snake plants. Things like spider plants like a little brighter light, you know, right in a window, away from a good bright window, and they come solid green or variegated. Plus, when they're happy, they produce lots of offshoots, and it's just wonderful.
They're fun.
They are a fun plant. And so I think a variety would give you some good results and give you that air quality you're looking for.
Also, is there a particular plant that acts as a good air freshener? The natural air freshener?
I haven't really...
You're talking to a bachelor here now, you know, Mark.
That's right. I'm thinking, okay. Those dirty athletic shoes in the closet. One of the things you may want to consider, things with fragrant foliage. I don't think they've looked so much as at the smell, but anything that might have either fragrant foliage or fragrant flowers. If you have bright light or the ability to put artificial light, doing something like a fragrant jasmine might be a nice addition to the house. Mm-hmm. Some of the scented geraniums, which grow outside, but you can also grow them inside, have fragrant foliage, so you can brush them as you walk by and help deodorize or, you know, add a little fragrance to the air. Not familiar with anything that has good for freshening effect, but definitely I think you can add some good fragrance by putting some flowers that tend to add to that. And cleaning the air probably doesn't hurt with that odor issue as well.
And you're a single guy, and, you know, if you're interested in having, I'm remembering back to my single days here, you know, I always had a lot of plants, and the romantic interest that I had always seemed to
to follow.
Enjoy.
Okay.
They seem to enjoy the plants.
It shows a sensitive side, nurturing qualities. So this is a whole different slant on Garden Talk, is it? Well, Mark, we really appreciate you bringing that aspect.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks a lot for calling. 1-800-642-1234, the number to call. Lila in New Holstein, your turn. Hi, Lila.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
I have a strawberry patch, and now raspberries have popped up in there. Can I leave them in there and have double bounty next year? Or should I yank one or the other out?
It'd probably work for one season, and then I think what would happen is your raspberries would probably overtake the strawberries. So your best bet, anybody that's tried to keep raspberries contained is probably going, get rid of them now.
Yeah.
You want to really, I would start, you know, if not this fall, definitely in the spring, pruning out those raspberries that are invading. You might want to consider edging your strawberry bed, just a physical edge with a spade, so wherever those raspberries are running in from the outer edge of your strawberry bed, to keep them out, and that will help reduce the problem to keep them out. You're just, if you want a good production on both, you're probably going to lose your strawberries down the road. So short term, you might get a little benefit. Long term, you're going to be sorry you let that happen.
Okay, that's good to know because, I mean, it's been coming in, and I've been pulling them out, but they keep coming back. So it was.
Hopefully. You were hoping I had a better answer, a different answer, weren't you?
Right, exactly. Okay. And could I ask just one more question?
Sure.
Winter onions, a big tree went down, and so we planted tomatoes in there, and then all of a sudden, I don't know if the birds brought it or what, but all of a sudden, I didn't even know there were winter onions until a neighbor said, oh, you've got winter onions. And I said, well, I didn't know what they were. And, of course, now they've grown big. And when they said winter onions, I thought, oh, good, in winter I can go out and dig them. No, that didn't work. But now they've come. What do you use just those little bulbs that come up, or do you dig that big onion? I mean, it isn't very big in the ground. Do you use that, or what do you do? I don't know anything about them.
That's a great question. Winter onions are walking onions, and I've also heard them called Egyptian onions. And if you've grown them, what happens is they form a bulb underground, not really big, and then on top, they form sets, just like the onion sets you plant. And then that falls over, and they plant themselves. So the idea is really the plant, when the top drops over, those onion sets plant themselves. So then they survive over winter, and then they come up, and you get another crop. So what some people will do is either harvest the sets and plant them themselves, or save them and plant them in spring. But the part you eat is that main bulb. So you're not getting huge onions like you would from your traditional onions.
More like a big marble?
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's more, I think it's more for almost like green onion, you know, it's a mini green onion, or steaming them, and then the fun of watching them walk through your garden until they take over. So the raspberries and the strawberries and your walking onions can all duke it out there.
Yes, it does keep me busy. Okay, that answers my question. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, and enjoy the harvest.
Thanks, Lila. Doug in Eau Claire, we'll move to you now. Hi, Doug.
Hey, how are you doing?
Great.
Thanks for taking my call. I had a couple questions. I'll try to make it short. My lawn, I worked on it for years, and it's really a pretty nice lawn. I use weed and feed probably, I don't know, three times a year, I guess, and no weed and feed the last time, and it's done a pretty really
pretty
good job of keeping the weeds down. But the clover, it seems to thrive on the weed and feed, and I'm not really unhappy with that. I like the clover. It's
it's pretty.
It's there, and it, you know, it's pretty, and it doesn't, you know, I just kind of like it. And but what I'm wondering is if I keep on doing what I'm doing, is the clover going to eventually? I mean, I've got some big patches of clover.
Is it going to take over? Sure. What about that, Mel?
Yeah, good question. One of the things is with clover, it used to be part of the grass seed mixes because it fixes nitrogen. And so what happened is they'd put in the grass seed to fix nitrogen to help nurse your lawn along. You're right. It's beautiful. It adds nitrogen to the soil. Hosta, a friend of mine who grows hosta, said he leaves the clover, so hopefully the rabbits eat the clover instead of his hostas. So that's one way of looking at it, though not everyone shares that. If you're keeping your lawn in good health, that will help slow the progress of the clover. Clover is a very difficult weed to control, and so you really almost, if you want to get rid of it, you need a weed killer designed for difficult weeds that is specifically labeled for clover. And adding a little bit of even a surfactant or a wetting agent helps it stick, and that will also increase your success. Now, one thing is, if you're needing to use a weed and feed three times a year, one of the questions I always have is, are you getting weeds in from the outside sources, those you can't control, or perhaps there may be some conditions you need to adjust so that you can use fewer weed killers in your lawn so that it's, you know, a little more friendly to the environment. But with your clover, I would monitor it. And if you're okay with it, and if it's not spreading beyond the rate that you can manage, I would say you're okay. Or consider using a wetting agent on one of your, you know, maybe just spot treating with a liquid weed killer and add a wetting agent, or use one specifically designed for difficult to control weeds, and you'll have better results.
what is a wetting agent?
It's surfactant. It's like soap. What soap does to water, where it breaks down the surface tension so that the water and the herbicides spread. And some garden centers will sell them right by the pesticides, and they sell them as a wetting agent or surfactant, right where you can buy your weed killers or your sprays, because people will add them for fungicides, insecticides, as well as weed killers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm not, like I say, I'm not unhappy with a clover coming in. And I let it go Gallagher. It's fine. I just didn't want it to
take over.
Yeah. I have an acre lawn here. I don't want all clover.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I have one more question, if I could, please. I have had a ornamental cherry tree, and, we went on vacation this summer. This ornamental cherry tree has been there for, well, since we bought the house 6 years ago, and it's just gradually grown and grown and done beautiful. And this spring, it was a monumental amount of ornamental cherries coming out. Actually, they're edible, but we went on vacation for just short of 3 weeks, came back, had a house sitter in the place, and and I came back, and all the plants around the ornamental cherry tree were doing fine, spirea and so on and so forth. But the ornamental cherry tree was dead as a wedge. I mean, the leaves were brown, and within a week, I mean, they were black, and the ornamental cherry tree went black, and I mean, it is dead.
What do you think, Mel?
Well, a couple things. One is you know, we've had extended drought for 10 years. If you look at our waterfall, it's been down. That stresses our plants. Cherries, I tend to put in the short-lived category for our area. They like moist, well-drained soils. Our frosts in the spring are usually kind of late. Our winters can be a little too severe. So they you know, the ornamental cherries aren't as tough and hardy as our native black cherry and our native Prunus virginiana. But so that's one issue. They might have been stressed over time, even though they looked great. Some kinds you can't see it. But my thought is it might have been something like a bacterial disease like gummosis. And gummosis can kill a plant quickly, especially when it's under stress from the heat and the drought. And you know what? When we have plant sitters, I always talk to people, and I just can see that plant sitter going, oh my gosh, they're coming home tomorrow, and they water like crazy and haven't for 3 weeks. But gummosis is a bacterial disease. It can be transferred by water, pruning equipment. You know, you have a wound or an injury in the plant, and that can bring it in and infects the trunk of the tree. The pressure builds up. You often get an oozing out of the trunk, but the damage you describe is very typical, where it's a blackening, almost like fire blight looks on apples and others. This can have similar results. What I would recommend is not putting another cherry in that spot, because the chances are, if it is the bacterial disease gummosis, there is a chance that it's still going to be there in the remaining roots, and you're just putting a plant in there to be infected. So I would try something different, you know, even out of the rose family, to like a Japanese tree lilac, or you know, something like that, not related, that'll still give you an ornamental value, but won't be setting it up for disease problems down the road.
Good luck. Thanks a lot, Doug, for calling. Appreciate it. Anita in New Berlin, your turn. Hi, Anita.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
I have three hydrangeas that are new to me, and what I would like is, what do I do to get them through the fall and winter and then next spring? Because everything I read tells me to do something different to each one.
Do you know what? Are they?
One is an Annabelle.
Okay.
One is a Limelight, and the other is Endless Summer.
Okay. And why you're seeing different things is all three require a little different care. Annabelle's that traditional big, white, round, snowball-like flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Think of it as a traditional kind of hydrangea. I like to leave them stand for the winter for two reasons. Winter interest. You know, we are in Wisconsin, so dead stuff sometimes is the best we can do. And then at the end of winter, cut them back to ground level, because they usually don't always, the whole top above ground portion doesn't always survive. It can be
weak. So
that
would be maybe March or April?
Yeah. And you know what? Why I like to do it is because by then you're dying to get out in the garden and do something.
You got that.
Exactly. So put that on do that later. The Limelight needs less. It's a panicled hydrangea, like the PG.
It grew beautiful this summer. Oh, huge out there.
Aren't they gorgeous? And they don't need as regular pruning as your Annabelles do. Really, at this point, you're trying to develop structure and just any crossing branches. Branches, one that grows above the other one that eventually are going to rub.
Right.
If you're getting any floppiness on the ends because of the weight of the flowers, then you can prune back the new growth. But being a young planting, I wouldn't do anything. I've got a...
I put it in late last summer.
Okay, so it's been in it for a year.
Right.
Okay. You know, and I would wait, if you are going to do any pruning, both Annabelle and Limelight bloom on new growth.
New growth.
Okay. New growth. So you're going to prune them. You can prune them anytime during the dormant season. But again, I like that winter interest, you know.
Yeah,
The dried flowers. So if you decide you need to do any, you know, crossing branches, parallel, control the growth, lightly you can prune the Limelight.
Do I take the blooms off this fall or just let that too?
Well, at this point, you know what? I'd leave them on because they bloom
so
on.
Heavy. Some are laying on the ground.
Then you can clip those off. It's more of an aesthetics issue.
Oh, I see.
So if you like it,
great. Like it.
So I do too. So you might want to clip the ones that are laying on the ground because they're going to be covered anyway.
Okay.
But it won't hurt the plant to leave them on. Then Endless Summer, and I can hear a lot
Then I just take off whatever is growing in the wrong direction.
Exactly. And then you can clean up and remove the faded flowers because then by then you want the new growth to really shine. You know, you might want to do a little cleanup at that point.
And Endless Summer hasn't been so endless.
No, it hasn't. And boy, I couldn't you just hear all those gardeners groaning, Larry?
Yes.
My Endless Summer didn't bloom this year. And talking to people across the country in the northern part of the country, that's a lot of what we saw. A couple of thoughts from people that I've spoken to around the country is that probably that real drop in the temperature knocked out the old wood. Okay, well, Endless Summer blooms on old and new growth, which makes it the star of the show, or so to speak, a couple years ago. Then the new growth didn't bloom this year, and I'm thinking the extreme heat and the dry that a lot of us saw probably killed a lot of those flower buds as well, and we saw really poor flowering. So what I would recommend with Endless Summer is leave them stand for winter, because if you have any of the old growth survive, the growth that comes off of that will bloom earlier. And then also, if it all dies back to the ground, then remove the dead stuff again by the end of the season. Or what I like to do with my Endless Summer and All Summer Beauty is I wait to see what buds swell. And when the buds swell, then I prune off what's dead, because sometimes it all looks dead in March.
Yeah.
So I usually wait and let those buds swell, and then I clean up the plant. And then if there's some growth above ground, I prune the dead stuff off above that, and then that growth has a better shot at blooming earlier. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully, as every gardener says, next year will be better.
Thank you, Anita. Thanks very much for calling. Melinda Meyer is our guest today on this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Melinda Myers. John Munson joining us as well. John, we started out with a goal of $12,000 for the program and $7,000 for this first hour.
And that goal is still there.
And the goal is still there. It hasn't gone away. I can't imagine why. We've raised $1,875 so far, which is a great start. But, of course, we have another $5,125 to go by noon to reach our goal.
Piece of cake.
Yeah, I think so, too. We can do it with your help at 1-800-383-9772. Call us now with your contribution, 1-800-383-9772, or the alternative, go online to WPR.org. It's safe, and you're not going to have your name or your MasterCard number or whatever spread all over the place. No, it's very secure, and it's a great way to contribute to the Ideas Network and to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. When you contribute $120, we'll send you the member benefit card, which gives you 2-for-1 dining across Wisconsin and other states, a few other states as well. We'll also have the 2-for-1 benefits for a bed and breakfast. So 2-night stay for the price of one at 44 different bed and breakfasts across Wisconsin, and some are in Illinois and Minnesota, I believe, as well. So those are some of the benefits of the member benefit card. But gee whiz, why not add $30, make it a $150 contribution, and we'll send you a copy of Melinda Myers' Small Space Gardening Book, 176 pages, about how you can enhance your outdoor living space for privacy, for entertaining. You can transform your garden into an outdoor retreat. Lots of great things in this book, and it's sort of our way of saying a little thank you for those of you who can contribute at that $150 level. And we've had people who've contributed less than that, and we've had yesterday I asked for a contribution of $100 a month from someone, John, and by golly, we got it.
Why don't you do that again?
I'll be resting a lot easier.
Well, you know, for those who have the means, consider a gift of $100 a month. That would make you a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. It would get you a special quarterly newsletter and special leadership gift, and it also helps secure Wisconsin Public Radio's future, $100 a month. But, you know, you mentioned the book at $150, and it's 176 pages. That's less than a penny a page. I mean, who can resist this kind of stuff? 800-383-9772, 800-383-9772, or securely online at WPR.org. And, you know, Larry, technology really marches on, and that website pledging is just exploding. And it's so convenient. You go in there. You don't have to talk to anybody if you're somebody who doesn't like to talk to people. Go into the website and make your pledge online. Print out your own receipt for tax purposes, and you're all done. It's simple, and it really, really helps us to keep the kind of quality programming that you expect from Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. 800-383-9772.
One of the reasons we really want to meet our goal is because we have challenge grants from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association and from the Outagamie Master Gardeners Association, $1,000 from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners and $500 from the Outagamie County Master Gardeners. Two great organizations. And Melinda, you were just talking to some folks from Outagamie County.
Exactly. I was up in the Fox Valley region, and a couple of the Outagamie Master Gardeners came up to say hello and how much they enjoy listening to us on Garden Talk, and that they were going to do the challenge pledge. And I thanked them for last, I think spring, they did a challenge pledge, and we made it. So the pressure is on for us and for all of you listening to help us make that pledge. Again, that's $1,500 we can get if everyone steps up and helps contribute.
At 1-800-383-9772 or going online to WPR.org. Make your contribution now. Janice in Wisconsin Rapids called in with a contribution, says, I'm a better person because of my membership in Wisconsin Public Radio. And Mary Lou in Watertown, since moving to Wisconsin, I listen all the time. Cheryl in Pewaukee says, it fits my ideals. Some really nice comments from people who enjoy Garden Talk and who enjoy Wisconsin Public Radio in general. But Garden Talk is kind of a unique program. We do it every Friday. We're here with an expert. Mel Myers has been on for a long, long time now, and she's one of our most popular guests because she does such a great job. She knows a lot, and she can convey that information to you and to me in a manner that even I can understand it. And I think that's kind of an important. And we have a lot of fun doing it, too. And I think that's another sort of virtue and value of a program like Garden Talk. And it's so when you make a contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio on a Friday between 11 and 12:30, you're really putting a vote in for Garden Talk. And I know that the Outagamie County and the Wisconsin Master Gardeners, both organizations, said, please be sure to mention that we want Master Gardeners to call in. As you know, of course we want everybody to call in, but in particular, they're zeroing in a little bit on the Master Gardeners to come forward today. But I tell you what, whether you're a Master Gardener or not, we can use your contribution right now. Again, go online to WPR.org. or call us at 1-800-383-9772 and make your contribution. And we're about $4,500 short.
Well, I noticed we just popped over $2,700 just as I looked at the screen. It changed again. So the calls are coming in, and let's keep them coming in at 800-383-9772. You know, Larry, one of the things my mother always taught me was any day you don't learn something is a wasted day. Mm-hmm. And every time I listen to this program in particular, I learn something. Now, whether I apply it or not, not? That's another question. But, you know, this is like going to school except no tests, no homework, and no principal. So all the good parts of going to school and none of the things that you didn't like. Well, you don't get recess here. But 800-383-9772, if you've learned something from Garden Talk that you've been able to apply in your yard, in your backyard, then you need to make a call right now and make a pledge to support this program and to tell all those master gardeners who put up this matching grant for us that you value it too and you agree with them. 800-383-9772, securely online at WPR.org.
And of course, that $120 contribution, we send you the member benefit card, but we'll send you that card as well if you add another $30. That's $12.50 a month if you want to do it monthly, which you certainly can do it monthly. We'll send you a copy of Mel Meyer's Small Space Gardening. It's part of the Can't Miss series, and she really lays out very nicely. And one of the things I really like are all the great photographs you've got in here, Mel.
And they're not all mine. Most of them are from professional photographers I've been lucky enough to work with that really help to show off the ideas in the book. They match, so, you know, a visual can tell you so much more and inspire you. So if you are going to hire someone to take care of your small
space, show them this book.
Show them this book. What? But also, it's a great gift. You know, one of the things that if you have another gardener, I can never have enough books in my life, so I'm always investing. But if you already own it and you want to show your support for Garden Talk, give that book as a gift to someone for Christmas and start your shopping early.
And as a matter of fact, we'll have those books out by the holidays. So you will get a copy of your book in time if you already have a copy, or if you're like me, sometimes I read these books and then I pass them on to somebody.
I signed a few for people like you, Larry. Don't put my name in here. I might be giving this away.
1-800-383-9772. Kate in Menasha says, I'm a guilty listener. This is the only radio station that I listen to, and I love this. She says Larry Mueller, but she means this program. She loves this program. And so she contributed, I don't know how much, maybe she contributed $120, in which case she'll receive that member benefit card.
And her guilt can go away then.
Her guilt. She's going to feel good all day knowing that she supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And she gets the dining benefits throughout the state of Wisconsin. We've got performances and attraction benefits, 2-for-1 admission to a lot of places, online shopping benefits as well, and then new this fall, the bed and breakfast benefits, 2-night stay for the price of one. And I'm thinking about, you know, I'm going to put this all together. I am going to look in the book that you get with your member benefit card that lists all the restaurants and all the places. I can pick out a bed and breakfast. Maybe there's an event in the area and a restaurant or two, and I can take my wife off on a weekend, big spender that I am, and go 2-for-1
the
whole
way. I've heard this about you.
And you'll more than get your $150 or $120 pledge back.
Well, I'll tell you, you could sit out. You could take this book and you could sit out on the veranda of the old Rittenhouse in Bayfield.
Okay.
And use your member benefit card there and enjoy all the beautiful flowers that they have up there. And you would feel more than justified in having made this investment in Wisconsin Public Radio, as if the quality programming weren't enough to drive you to the telephone already. 800-383-9772, the number to call. And Larry, we're up over $3,300, so we're just about halfway to our goal. We've got about 4 minutes left to make it. So I guess this is where we put in the sense of urgency, right?
This is the sense of urgency right now, because we really want to make this goal so that we receive our additional amount of money from the Master Gardeners, Wisconsin Master Gardeners and Outagamie County Master Gardeners, $1,500 additional if we can just reach a $7,000 goal by noon today. We have $3,700 to go to reach that goal, and that's a lot. I know some people could afford $1,000. Some people could afford $500. Some people are going to say, well, I'm going to put in $150, and then I'll get the book, and I'll get the member benefit card. And that's all of those are good options. I like all of those options. The more contributors we have, the better. I like it, frankly. And about 1 in 10 people, I think, contribute who listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. As I look at our board here today, I see about, just under a third of the people are new contributors during this program, haven't contributed in the past. If you've never contributed, now would be a wonderful time to put in your vote for Garden Talk and for Wisconsin Public Radio. With 3 minutes to go, we really want to meet this goal of $7,000 in order to receive our $1,500 challenge grant. We only do it with your help. Whatever amount is comfortable for you is what we want you to contribute. But when you do contribute, you'll be voting for Garden Talk. You'll be voting for the Ideas Network. And I don't know what else more I could say. I think it's a real good vote. It's a real vote for the kind of programming we do on Fridays.
Well, absolutely, Larry. This Garden Talk program has become one of the most popular programs on Wisconsin Public Radio, and with good reason. There's so much good information here, week in and week out. And I have to tell you, even if you're not a gardener, it's an interesting show to listen to. You can find out what all those other people are doing out there in the backyard. Get some explanations. 800-383-9772, the number to call. And, you know, if just three people would go to the phone and pledge $100 a month, we'd just about be there.
we'd be there. In fact, we would be there. But we might not have that happen. And I don't want to let this challenge grant go by. And it's very important that we meet the challenge grant. For those of us here at Wisconsin Public Radio, I mean, it pays for a lot of different things. It pays for the toll-free phones. It pays for the engineers that we have. It pays for some of our staff. A lot of money goes for those kinds of things. And you have been a really important part of Wisconsin Public Radio's financing. You are the people who really contribute a very significant amount to keeping Wisconsin Public Radio going with the kinds of programming that it now has. And we hope that'll even get better down the road. I think we're doing a pretty good job right now. I hope you think so, too. And as we've got a minute or a minute and a half to go, boy, now is really the time to come forward for us. 1-800-383-9772. Call that number, 1-800-383-9772. Or go online to WPR.org, WPR.org. Make your contribution. We'll be back with Melinda Myers after a look at the news. And let's call in right now. Make that contribution. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, and I'm happy to report that Melinda, we made our goal.
Yay. I don't know how you do this every day because I am a nervous wreck every time I come here to help pledge. And it's, thank you everyone for calling. I can have a happy drive back to Milwaukee today.
Well, of course, we still have another $5,000.
Okay, so don't celebrate too soon. All right.
We still have another five, so don't stop contributing. Teresa and Heartland will give you a chance. Thanks for waiting, Teresa. Hi.
Hi, Melinda.
Hi, Teresa.
I have about three questions. First of all, I grew strawberries this year. I bought the plants, and I didn't have my garden area quite ready for them yet, so I planted them in some big pots. In fact, yesterday I picked a strawberry in. Kind of tasted frozen because I think the weather got too cold at night.
Just grind them up, put a little
more strawberries growing on it. Should I bring them indoors to finish, let them ripening?
Well, what I would probably do, and I know this, it just kills a gardener to sacrifice, but what you may want to do is you could leave them out there. What are you going to do with them for the winter? You probably, my recommendation...
I didn't know if you should leave them in a pot to grow for the winter or if you have to transplant them into a garden area.
Well, what I would probably do at this point is just move that. Do you have an unheated garage?
Yes.
Okay, and it's how big is your container?
It's probably about... Oh, it's quite a bit across, probably about 10, 12 inches across.
And
it's not real deep, though.
Oh, is it a nice-looking pot or just kind of an old nursery?
Yeah, it's a plastic pot that's got a drain plate underneath it.
Okay. You may want to just put them out in the ground, but I'd want to do that soon because you want to get those plants rooted in. My suggestion was going to be to put them in an unheated garage for the winter and insulate them, meaning all that stuff we have around. And a tip Larry actually shared one time I was on is put it on a board, which I never thought of. So if you have a concrete floor, put it on a wooden board for added insulation. And then if your garage is like mine, there's plenty of stuff to pack around it. And you water it anytime the ground is not frozen and dry. Okay, strawberries set their flower...
Outside or in the garage, you're saying?
Pardon me?
What'd you say, outside or in the garage?
In the garage, in an unheated garage.
Yeah.
If you leave them outside in that small of a pot, and why I ask if it was a nice pot, is I typically take plants that I'm growing in containers in smaller pots, you know, a foot, foot and a half in diameter, maybe 2 feet, and bury them in the ground in vacant areas in my garden for the winter. But if it's a pretty pot and you don't want to leave it outside to weather, then you can put it in an unheated garage. If it's not a pot that you care if it survives through the winter, and I find plastic pots I probably get 3 or 4 years.
It's a real heavy plastic.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very heavy.
You might want to just sink that in, dig a hole, bury it in the ground. That'll insulate the roots. Once the ground freezes, put some evergreen boughs. That'll protect the top because strawberries typically set their flower buds for their first crop over in the fall, so that protects them over winter. Then you could lift the pot out or you could plant them in the garden in the spring. Those would be my recommendations. As for the fruit, you know, it's up to you. I wouldn't bring it in the house because it's going to get too warm, and then what are you going to do with them for the winter? So, you know, you may want to put it and protect it on the really cold days out when it's warm, but then think about how you're going to overwinter it.
And thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it very much. Tahani in Milwaukee, it is your turn. Thank you for waiting.
Hey, thanks. I have two quick questions. One of them is that my soil is like concrete, and I can't make it into the soil I want it to be. And my other question is that I have some dahlias and nonstop begonias, and I want to store them over the winter, but I'm not sure when to pull them out of the window boxes and the ground that I have them in and how to store them.
Okay, well, let's talk about soil because fall is a great time to work on your soil. Adding organic matter, compost you've made yourself or you've purchased, aged manure, shredded leaves. It's amazing when you shred up your leaves, dig them in the garden, they'll be gone next spring and it will help improve the soil. It is a long-term process. I know it gets very disheartening. Mm-hmm. You fix up the soil and you've done all this work and you go, wow.
Yeah, it turns into like hard clods of concrete no matter what I put in there. And I've done a lot of work, but it doesn't seem to
Okay, another thing to keep in mind, I'm glad you brought it up, to avoid clods and that concrete, it's when you work your soils just as important as what you add. Work it when it's slightly moist. If you grab a handful of soil and gently tap and it breaks into small pieces, it's good time to work. If you grab a handful of soil, gently squeeze, and it stays into a mud ball when you tap on it.
Too wet.
And that's when, and we get anxious. We can't wait to get out there. You know, spring's finally here. And then you end up fighting that all season long. So watch the moisture level. Keep adding organic matter. And then also try organic mulches, shredded leaves, grass clippings that have not been treated with a weed killer, evergreen needles. Those help to reduce problems with soil compaction. So as the rain's compounding down, it softens it. When you're walking on the garden, as they break down, they improve the soil. So don't give up.
Can I just work it in around the plants are already established?
Well, first of all, that mulch, you just put it on the soil surface, and as it breaks down.
Oh, just use it as mulch.
Yeah. Breaks down, the earthworms and beetles take it down and improve the soil. So,
with manure, you can just leave it on top?
Well, with aged manure and compost and things, that's if you're working up the bed. If you're going to top dress, an inch of compost around perennials every other year is good enough usually for fertilizing. As well as amending the soil. So that you just put on the soil surface. Aged manure, for the most part, is like compost. It's so low in nutrients. You could do the same thing as well. So those would be ways of improving the soil in your perennial gardens, too.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, and then your other question was, and I was, help me out.
I have some dahlias.
Oh, dahlias.
Well.
Okay.
And I want to pull them out of the ground, but I'm not sure. They're still flowering. So.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry. I was paying attention. Bad memory. A light frost is when you want to do it. So if you're not going to grow your begonia, some people take tuberous begonias and bring them indoors and grow them like house plants. I know some gardeners who've got 4 or 5 year old plants that they bring in for the winter and out for the summer, but you have to have space and good light and things. Otherwise, after a light frost, lift them out of the ground carefully, or if they're in containers, I prefer to store them in peat moss versus potting mix. Lift them out of the containers, cure them. That means a warm, dry place overnight, and then remove any foliage and loose soil. Don't scrub them like potatoes, and then pack them in peat moss and store them in a cool, dark place, like a corner away from the furnace in your basement. Most of us have warm basements, and these like to be stored at 50 degrees. So finding that spot in the basement can be challenging. So lift them after a light frost, remove the foliage and soil, let them set overnight in a warm, dry place to help cure, then pack them. Be sure to label if you have various ones, because if you come and show me a dahlia tuberous root in the spring, I can't tell you if it's yellow or orange, trust me. So label them, and you should have hopefully some good luck.
Thank you for calling. Phyllis in Dubuque, Iowa. Hello, Phyllis.
Good morning, or good afternoon. I have a couple questions, but first I want to just say I'm from Iowa, and I pledge monthly on my charge account.
Well, thank you.
And I want the people of Wisconsin to realize what a treasure they have in Wisconsin Public Radio. It's just tremendous. And I
Thank
don't
you.
Even get to use the benefits. So.
Well, you know what, Phyllis? I'm doing a lot of work in Iowa, and I have a new book, Month by Month Gardening for Iowa, coming out. So I've been doing a lot. So you know what? If you have access to the internet, you email me, and I will mail you when it comes out next. That'll be my contribution to your benefit for pledging.
Well, I do have an email.
Okay. So melindamyers.com, you email me and let me know, and when the book comes out, I'll send you a copy.
I will do that.
And you have a question, too. Thank you so much,
yes,
by the way.
I don't mind a little clover in my yard, but it seems to just take over. And every year, the areas get bigger. And about every 3 years, I'll knock it back with the herbicide. But is there anything organic you could do this with?
You know, it's very tough. And one of the things often we look at when we see weeds is, why are the weeds doing better than our lawn? And sometimes, not always with clover, it can be a fertilizer issue. So if you're not fertilizing on a regular schedule, you might want to consider beefing it up. And
I do it 3 times a year.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good. You may want to get a soil test just to make sure.
Okay.
Other than that, really...
Would cutting height make a difference?
It sure wouldn't hurt. Keeping your grass tall, a good 2.5, 3.5 inches tall.
I do that.
Okay, mowing frequently. Mm-hmm. Is your soil pretty hard and compacted, or is it in pretty good shape?
Well, yeah, a little bit. I'm going to have it,
core aerated?
I'm going to have it core aerated here, and I've done that about 3 years ago, but...
And that may just help give your grass a little bit of an edge. It sounds like you're doing everything right. I do not know of any non-traditional chemical that wouldn't burn out your grass as well. Most of the things that are using vinegar and soaps that are more environmentally friendly kill anything, the tops of anything they touch.
And clover's tough.
Yeah, it is. And so I think you're doing the right thing. And spot treating, if you decide that you need to keep weeds under control, and I know you're doing it, Phyllis, but for others listening going, I really can't stand the weed, I want to be nice to the environment, and you decide to use a chemical, a traditional chemical, then spot treat to reduce that amount of chemical you're putting on your lawn.
I pull my weeds out.
Good for you.
It's a little hard to pull out.
Those clovers are, and I have a little yard, and I couldn't keep up this year.
Thanks, Phyllis.
Okay, now, do you have a suggestion for organic fertilizer for the lawn?
Well, a couple things that you might want to consider. I first want to go... I'm the spokesperson for Milorganite, so take that with a grain of salt. And it's not classed, it's an organic source of nitrogen, but the reason I like it is it's recycling a waste product, and it goes through EPA screening, more screening than traditional fertilizers. And it's like a regular fertilizer, so it's easier to apply than some other products. There's so many more on the market these days that the thing I would look at is nutrient analysis. I'd look at ratings in terms of, pathogen, concerns with pathogen and EPA ratings, because that'll give you some indication, too, on the safety, and look for those. So obviously I'd recommend Milorganite, but I wanted to let you know my bias, but that's the reason I'm their spokesperson. But there's lots of other good products coming on the market, too. I'd look for ease of application and consistency in the product, and evaluation and EPA approval. But, Milorganite's a low-nitrogen, slow-release organic source of nitrogen. It's not classed as an organic fertilizer based on the government classification, but it is an organic source of nitrogen.
And Phyllis, thank you so much for your comments about public radio, and thank you so much for your questions. Appreciate it very much. And John Munson, still with us. And John, I've got some great news for us. We have an additional, we made our $1,500 extra challenge grant money for the first hour. And now for this last half hour, when we raise $5,000, we'll get another $1,500.
Man, the hits just keep coming.
Yeah, it's harder and harder working with him. Every time I come, the pledge is higher.
Well, we have high standards
on.
Here. We have high expectations here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and we're rarely disappointed in our audience because they always exceed those high expectations. And you can help us do that by a phone call right now to 800-383-9772. 800-383-9772, or you can go to our website, wpr.org, and make a secure online pledge. They all count toward our goal of $5,000 this half hour, Larry. And as you said, we make the $5,000, we get another $1,500, and that's a good day.
That's a very good day. And we've already raised this half hour $860. So we have $4,140 to go in the next 10 minutes to reach our goal, which is a very doable goal with your help.
Your call is the fertilizer that helps keep Wisconsin Public Radio flowering. How's that for stretching and a little
fertilizer
there?
Flying through the airwaves?
Well, sounds better than the manure that I was thinking of.
I'm a specialist in fertilizer on the air.
1-800-383-9772. If you haven't contributed yet, this is a great time to contribute to a vote for Garden Talk. Vote for guests like Melinda Myers, who come on and give of their time and really do a wonderful job providing great information about a whole variety of things. You know, I sometimes think we could probably have Garden Talk all day Friday, and we probably never run out of calls. I always feel bad at the end of the program because we have our lines are always filled, and we still have so many other people who have questions for Melinda and the other guests that we have on during Garden Talk. But for 90 minutes every Friday, Melinda and other experts are here to give you information about the lawn, about the flowers, about the vegetables, about the trees and the shrubs, and really provide some great information. And again, I want to mention that the Wisconsin challenge grant today comes from the Outagamie County Master Gardeners and the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association, who have been very, very generous to provide this additional money because they appreciate Garden Talk. They want to keep Garden Talk going the way it's been going and make it as good as we can possibly make it. And so they came up with this challenge grant, $1,500. They've asked Master Gardeners to please contribute during this time period. I will make that same request, but I'll also ask anyone else who's not a, you know, I'm not a Master Gardener myself. I've learned a lot. I sometimes think I should take the test sometime.
Listen, you know a lot of those answers, Larry.
I think I could pass the test. I tell you what, I've learned an awful lot here, and I know that many of the county agents who run the Master Gardener programs use this particular show as continuing education or 90 minutes of education toward reaching their
certification. Recertification.
Yeah,
right.
Recertification. So I know it's very important out there to those who are Master Gardeners and to everyone else, people like me who have some flowers and we have a few tomato plants and a few vegetables around the lawn, but not a lot. But I've learned a lot about my lawn. I've learned a lot about that birch tree that I've got and that flowering crab from my neighbor that leans over into our
lawn. We probably better not go there, Larry. 800-383-9772. Call in and make your pledge of support. Think about it as tuition for this class that you're taking on gardening. $120 gets you the member benefit card, good for two-for-one entrees at restaurants around the state of Wisconsin. And now, new and improved member benefit card, which also includes two-for-one stays at bed and breakfast, 44 of them in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Minnesota. And so you use this thing once, and it will pay for itself. Mm-hmm. So you get your money back, plus you get the satisfaction of having supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And for another $30, they can get a book, too, the Small Space Gardening book. And as we say up north, that's a heck of a deal.
That's a heck of a deal. And here's how you get that, 1-800-383-9772, or go online to WPR.org. We've raised $1,210 so far. So that means we have $3,790 to go in the next 6.5 minutes in order to reach our goal and also to reach that additional $1,500 in challenge grants. That'd be $3,000 in challenge grants for this particular program. What a great thing. But we don't get it, frankly, if we don't meet our goal. You can help us meet that goal right now when you call in with your contribution, be it $120, $150, maybe it's $100 a month, maybe it's $500 for the year. You can send a check. I sometimes pay by check. Sometimes I use my MasterCard because I get the air miles that way. And you can use electronic funds transfer. There's a lot of different ways that you can do it. But the important thing is that you've thought about it. You've probably been listening to the programs for quite a while this week and hearing other people ask for contributions. Maybe you've heard me ask for contributions in the past. Well, this is a very important 5-6 minutes for us, because when we reach our goal of $5,000 with your help, we receive an additional $1,500. And you've then become a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio community of contributors. You're already a member of the Wisconsin Public Radio community of listeners. And I sometimes have, I've said in the past, I wonder what converts a Wisconsin Public Radio listener into a contributor. And I think one of the reasons is a desire to make a difference. A lot of people who listen to Wisconsin Public Radio are heavily involved in their communities. They belong to organizations. They belong to clubs. And they do a lot in their own communities. Well, giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is kind of part of that community action and community development and being a part of a community. And I think that's one of the things that gets people thinking about contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, Garden Talk is one of our most important and one of our most popular programs. You can put in a vote for it right now and help us reach that goal of $5,000. And the number, go online, WPR.org. That's great, WPR.org. Or just call us at 1-800-383-9772. Ann in Milwaukee says she's been retired for 3 years, been listening all of the time ever since. She was recently out of the country, and the only things that she missed were her dog and Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
Well, you know, if you've got a computer, you can take Wisconsin Public Radio with you, and you can listen online. So that's better than a dog. 800-383-9772. You know, we have 5 new contributors this half hour, Larry, and wouldn't it be great if we could get 5 more before we get done here? 5 people who've never contributed before. You may have been listening. Well, now it's your turn. Your gift does matter, because we make these goals call by call, and when we've got a challenge grant, they're even more important than usual, because when we make our goal, then we get an extra $1,500 in this case for some people who believe in what we're doing here and who've made a decision to support us. So you can make your decision right now. Go to the phone, 800-383-9772, or securely online at WPR.org.
1-800-383-9772. That's the number to call. We're down around $3,000 now, so we've got about $3,000 to go, I should say. We've raised about $2,000, about $3,000 to go. We could do that with 3 $1,000 contributions, but more likely we're going to be doing it with maybe 15 or 20 contributions that are in that $150 range. That would be probably about enough to make that goal. And you're part of that. You're part of that that community out there. You may have already contributed, maybe not. I know there have been people who contributed, like Phyllis. She contributes on a monthly basis. But I've had people tell me, you know what, I was contributing on a monthly basis, but I decided to add a little more in during a particular show. So I put another $30 or $40 or $50 or $20. It's a wide variety of contributions. And you can do that, too. You know, we're not, just because you've already contributed doesn't mean you can't contribute again. We're down to the last 2 minutes, and we've got about $2,500, my guess is, to go to reach our goal. So we're about halfway there. But you know what? We can easily do it with your help. When you contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio, now you're making a vote for Garden Talk. When you contribute $150, we're sending you the Small Space Gardening book and the member benefit card. So those are some great thank you gifts for contributing during this program.
800-383-9772. 800-383-9772. We're at 7 new members this half hour, Larry. We need 3 more to get to that mythical 10 that I was hoping for. And what would be even better is if those 3 put us over the top and got us to our goals, so that we got that very generous challenge grant. And, you know, every nickel counts here, and we spend them wisely. You don't need to be concerned about that. What you need to be concerned about right now is going to your telephone and making that pledge at 800-383-9772, or do it securely online at WPR.org.
I want to thank everybody who's contributed so far. We've got about a minute to go. We have to go away now, but we have Still a minute or two for you to call in with your contribution at 1-800-383-9772 or by going online to WPR.org. Really appreciate everybody who's called in. Thank you. Please contribute now if you haven't contributed already.
800-383-9772. Yes,